Hi, this week the question is, should we baptize men for the dead? In other words, suppose a man or a woman had never been baptized before they died. Is it possible that someone now living could be baptized on their behalf? Notice several things about baptism first. In John 3, verse 5, baptism in water is part of the new birth, and unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. In Matthew 28, verse 19, baptism is the only thing in the entire Bible that is to be done in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The importance and necessity of baptism can be seen in this one fact alone. In Acts 2, verse 38, baptism in water is for the remission of sins. Acts 22, verse 16, baptism in water is for the washing away of sins. In Romans 6, verses 3 through 4, baptism in water puts a sinner into Christ and makes him a member of the body of Christ. In 1 Peter 3, verses 20 and 21, the Apostle Peter came right out and said, "Baptism saves us now." It's as though he knew that some people would one day deny the necessity of water baptism, and so he wrote that baptism saves us to prevent anyone from thinking sinners could be saved without it. However, as important as baptism is, the Bible clearly teaches that there are some prerequisites to baptism. Not just anyone can be baptized and have their sins washed away. There are certain requirements that must be met first. In Mark 16, verse 16, Jesus said, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved." Notice that belief in Jesus is necessary before a man can be baptized. If a man does not believe in Jesus first, baptism will do no good. In Acts chapter 8, verses 36 through 38, the Bible says, "Now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?' Then Philip said, 'If you believe with all your heart, you may.' And he answered and said, 'I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.' So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him." According to this passage, something was hindering the eunuch from being baptized. Something stood in the way, and Philip would not baptize the eunuch unless he met a certain condition first. What was that condition? Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." In other words, Philip refused to baptize anyone who did not first believe in Jesus Christ. This is very significant. Just as James chapter 2, verse 24 teaches that faith only cannot save a sinner, this passage is teaching that baptism only cannot save a sinner either. It takes both belief in Christ and baptism in water together to save the sinner. That's why Jesus said in Mark 16, verse 16, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved." Again, what prerequisites are necessary before a person can be baptized? In Acts 2, verses 37 and 38, the Bible says, "When they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?' Then Peter said to them, 'Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins.'" Notice, there are two things specifically mentioned in this passage that are necessary for the remission of sins: repentance and baptism. Repentance was placed before baptism. Unless a man repents first, baptism will do no good. Now, question. Since belief and repentance are prerequisites to baptism, how can a living person be baptized on behalf of a dead person? Philip refused to baptize anyone living who did not first believe in Christ. Acts 8, verse 37. How then can we baptize anyone on behalf of a dead person who never believed? Again, Peter refused to baptize anyone living who did not first repent of their sins. Acts 2, verse 38. So, how can we baptize anyone on behalf of a dead person who never repented? The Bible clearly teaches in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Every man shall give account of the things that he has done while in his own body. No one can believe for another person. No one can repent for another person. And no one can be baptized for another person. Each person is responsible for his own actions, and no one can obey God for another person. There is, however, a passage in 1 Corinthians 15 which some people use to justify the practice of baptizing living people on behalf of dead people. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 29, the Bible says, "Otherwise, what will they do who are baptized for the dead, if the dead do not rise at all? Why, then, are they baptized for the dead?" In spite of the fact that the Scriptures clearly teach men must believe and repent before they can be baptized, and in spite of the fact that the Bible clearly teaches men shall give account for the things done in their own bodies, some people interpret this passage in such a way so as to say living people can be baptized as representatives of dead people who never believed or repented. Is this what 1 Corinthians 15 verse 29 is teaching? Well, not at all. Notice carefully the following facts. Number one, the Greek word baptizo, translated baptized in this passage, is in the middle voice. According to the textbook Essentials of New Testament Greek by Ray Summers, in the middle voice, the subject is acting so as to participate in some way in the results of the action, page 38. In other words, because the Greek word baptizo is in the middle voice, the one being baptized is going to participate in some way in the results of the action. The ones being baptized are the ones receiving the benefits of the baptism. Number two, it is assumed that the pronoun they in verse 29 is referring to men that are living, and it is assumed that the living are being baptized for the dead. But what if this assumption is wrong? What if the pronoun they referred not to the living but to the dead themselves? In fact, it is very likely the pronoun they does indeed refer not to the living but to the dead themselves. Verse 18 says, "They which are fallen asleep." Verse 23, "They," that is the dead, "that are Christ at his coming." Verse 35, "With what body do they," the dead, "come?" Since the pronoun they is being constantly used in this chapter to refer to the dead people themselves, it seems very logical to conclude that the word they in verse 29 is also referring to the dead. Now let's put this information all together. First, the word they refers to the dead, not to the living. And second, the middle voice of the verb baptizo indicates that the ones being baptized are themselves receiving the benefits of the baptism. This information would make the passage teach this. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 29 would read like this: "Otherwise, what will they do who are baptized for the dead if the dead do not rise at all? Why then are they baptized for the dead?" Contextually, Paul is trying to prove the resurrection. Some at Corinth were denying the resurrection, verse 12. His argument is this: if there is no resurrection from the dead, then why did these godly saints who have already died, why did they get baptized in preparation for death? They were baptized for the remission of their sins, expecting to be raised up with Christ to eternal life. But if there is no resurrection from the dead, what is the benefit of these dead people having been baptized? 1 Corinthians 15:29 then is not a command nor an example of living people being baptized in behalf of dead people, but rather it is an argument concerning the resurrection of the dead. In summary, should we baptize men in behalf of those who are already dead? The answer is no. 1 Corinthians 15:29 does not teach proxy baptism, but just the opposite. It teaches that baptism in water will do a man no good if after he dies there is no resurrection from the dead. Well, thanks for listening to our message this week. If you would like to speak with someone in person from the congregation, all you have to do is call 405-567-0575. Again, that is 405-567-0575. Or you can leave your name and number at the sound of the tone, and one of our brethren will be glad to call you and assist you. We also invite you to visit our website, www.willofthelord.com, where you may also download the notes from the message you just listened to. We invite you to call again next week as we consider a new subject on Bible Talk.